Well, we even had the master of ceremonies confused here. But anyways, no, it just follows the schedule. You just look on the schedule. Mr. Campion will be giving a message afterward. I have to get all my gear set up here. Anyways, we hope you're having a blessed conference today and this whole week, and that you'll be continue to be blessed through the rest of our studies this morning. Okay, let's open with a word of prayer. Our Father in heaven, we thank Thee for the rich physical provision that Thou hast provided, this wonderful university, and how kind they have been to us. And Father, we ourselves are admonished that we haven't always restrained our children properly and other things. And Father, we thank Thee for Thy grace and mercy that Thou hast allowed us to study Thy Word here, and pray for help to be good witnesses in that they may see and say that there's a difference with these people by just observing us. And Father, may that be everywhere in our life as people look at us. And we pray as we look into Thy Word now, Father, that You would guide us into truth and correct error, nullify error, Father, and help us to be built up by Thy Word and strengthen us by Thy Word, and help us to be a blessing and a servant, a more faithful servant of Thee as we go back into our regular lives, Father, and do those things that Thou hast appointed for us. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. For our Bible study today, we'll be in Psalm 119. Psalm 119, if you'd indulge me by standing, we'll read a few verses from Psalm 119 and see what God has to teach us there. I figure I'll get my watch in the right place. All right, I'm finally set up. Okay, Psalm 119. We're going to read the second section, starting in verse 9. We'll just read a few verses here. We'll read 8 verses. Starting in verse 9, we're in Psalm 119, starting in verse 9. Wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed thereto according to thy word. With my whole heart have I sought thee. O, let me not wander from thy commandments. Thy word have I hid in mine heart, that I might not sin against thee. Blessed art thou, O Lord, teach me thy statutes. With my lips have I declared all the judgments of thy mouth. I have rejoiced in the way of thy testimonies, as much as in all riches. I will meditate in thy precepts, and have respect unto thy ways. I will delight myself in thy statutes. I will not forget thy word. Thank you very much. You may be seated. This is such a wonderful psalm. You know, I was thinking this morning that myself or any of us could be quite benefited by just taking one verse of this psalm and just meditating on it tomorrow, and taking another verse in this psalm and meditating on it the next day, and just like that. It's a wonderful psalm that God has given us. And you notice, you probably know this already, but it's grouped into sections of 8 verses each, and there's one of the Hebrew letters. Most Bibles print one of the Hebrew letters at the beginning of each section. Like the first verse starts out with Aleph, and then this section we read is Beth, and third section is Gimel and Dalet. Maybe you're familiar with these are the letters of the Hebrew alphabet, so you can begin to learn the Hebrew alphabet. But the reason why they do this is that the first 8 verses in the Hebrew all begin with the letter Aleph, which is the first letter of the Hebrew alphabet. And then the next 8 verses that we read in the Hebrew language all begin with the letter Beth. And third group of 8 begin with the letter Gimel. And so God is encouraging us, we can't see this in our English Bible, but God is encouraging us towards memorization. And that God has written this way as an encouragement to remind us because if we knew Hebrew, we could memorize these more easily. And therefore, in English, we ought to try to memorize them as well. But this is a beautiful psalm, and it emphasizes many important truths. And one of the important truths that this psalm emphasizes is the importance of the Bible, the importance of the Bible to the true believer. There's this wonderful word that God has given us, and sadly, most people in the world have no real interest in it, no true interest in it. They may make reference to it from time to time, but no true interest to find out what is God really saying. And Sadly, that also encompasses many of the corporate people of God, the churches, the theologians. They don't see the value of it, of the Word of God either. But the true believer magnifies the position of the Bible in his own life and as he can witness. Now, I mentioned that the corporate people of God lower the position of the Bible, and they do this in various ways. And we can do it in various ways by not listening with an intent to be obedient. If I'm just listening to some verse and I don't really have any desire to be obedient to it, then I'm really lowering the level of the Bible. Or encouraging many translations. Sadly, in English, we have so many translations that if you were to get together with some other people and they each grabbed a different translation and you each read it, each translation sounds a little bit different. You don't know what God is saying. You get the impression that, well, what is God saying? And that lowers the authority of the Bible. Finally, the further on you go with theologians, you find that they keep changing the Bible. They don't trust the original Greek and Hebrew that God provided that was used for the King James 400 years ago. They change it. They have like 15 or 16 different versions. They've put themselves in charge of the Bible, and it's sad. But what we want to keep in mind is that God has protected His Word, the original Greek and Hebrew that was used for the King James. And so we can trust it. And He's also given us a fairly good translation here with the King James, but we find that we do have to check the translation. Now, getting back to another point I mentioned is, how does this psalm magnify the Bible? Well, almost in almost every verse, there's a reference to the Bible, and particularly the references, most references are structured in the form of the law, of referring to the Bible as the law of God, the law of God. The Bible is the law of God. It rules over me, it rules over you, it rules over all mankind. It also rules over God's salvation program. God's salvation program is structured and designed according to His Word, the Bible. In fact, it even rules over God has submitted Himself to His Word. God follows His Word, and that's the only security the true believer has, that God is under His own law. We pick that up out of Psalm 138, verse 2. But you notice the Bible is mentioned in almost every verse. In verse 9, we have the word word. In verse 10, we have the word commandments. Verse 11, we see the word word again. In verse 12, we have statutes, which is another word for law. Verse 13, judgments. The Bible is, are the judgments that God has made about what is right for man. And verse 14, testimonies, for example. And so Psalm 119 is a wonderful psalm for many reasons. And one of the important reasons, it magnifies the Bible. It shows the importance of the Bible. Now, another wonderful truth about Psalm 119 is that it gives the thinking of the true believer. It gives the thinking. This is God's Word, but He has put in it the thinking of the true believer. Now, we may ask, why is that really important? Why is it really important? Well, let's back up. Salvation is the most important thing in this world. We've talked about this before. You know about this, that we can have lots of riches. We can have lots of liberty that God has given us in this country. We have lots of good health. But all that, even if the Lord weren't only about 4 years away, all of that passes away way too quickly. But salvation goes forever. And so everything else in this world lasts for a few years, at the best, a few years. But salvation covers our greatest need as payment for our sins, that awful payment that we owe, that awful debt that we owe. And it takes an eternity for us to pay that debt. But salvation through the Lord Jesus, that's revealed in the Bible. And so that is very important. Now, why does that tie into the point I made earlier about the thinking of the believer? Well, if God has saved us, we have been made a new creature in Christ. We read about that in 2 Corinthians 5:17. We've been made a new creature in Christ. Well, what is a new creature in Christ? Well, God talks about this psalm and other places, but this psalm to a great extent gives us the thinking and the actions of such a new creature in Christ. So as we study this psalm, and we'll look at a couple of verses, I don't plan to make a whole lot of there's no need to cover lots of verses. If we can cover a few verses and learn something from those verses, then we can be greatly benefited. But this psalm gives the thinking and the actions of the true believer. So I can compare my life to this and say, is this really my thinking? If it's not, I'm further pointed in the direction my need of salvation. And if I'm not walking as faithfully as I ought, then this psalm helps get me back on track, as well as the whole Bible does that. Now, in a previous study, not here, we got to verse 10, and that may have been heard on echo. So we're going to begin with verse 10 today. And let's look at this verse. Let's look at verse 10. God tells us the thinking of the true believer, spoken from the perspective of a true believer. With my whole heart have I sought thee. Oh, let me not wander from thy commandments. And this verse, like all the verses that are in this psalm, give us the thinking of the true believer. It is not the thinking of some theoretical perfect believer that in practice doesn't exist. This is the thinking that should be in my life, should be in the way I think or the way you think if we become saved. You know, I've talked to, at various times I've talked to people that, you know, claim to be believers, and sometimes we look at a verse like this, and from time to time I get the answer, or more often than not, I get the answer that this is a theoretical perfect believer. You know, but in reality, we're still sinners. We don't live this way. But this is not what God is saying. I've been told that we shouldn't really expect to see this in our lives, but this is not what God is saying. God has given us this passage, so I can read this passage, you can read this passage and verse, and I can look at my own life. We can each look at our own life. Is this really the way I live? And I'm always forced to cry out to God for mercy. Help me, Lord, to live more like that. So even if we are already saved, we're further encouraged. Oh, Lord, may this be the kind of life that I live, the kind of thinking I have. And if we're not saved, we're encouraged to see our need and see how much we need the Lord. And so I have to say, is this verse describing me? Now, God talks about, in this verse, the whole heart. With my whole heart have I sought thee. And this reminds us of a passage like Ezekiel 36:25, that God says, when he saves us, he gives us a new heart, a new nature. That identifies with 2 Corinthians 5:17, that God will make us a new creature in Christ. That identifies with these teaching that we receive a resurrected soul or a resurrected spirit. We receive a new resurrected spirit. We're a new creature in Christ. And these biblical principles are emphasized in this phrase here, with my whole heart. We're a new creature. That's why we need a new heart. How can my heart is before salvation, Jeremiah 17:9, is deceitful and desperately wicked. How can that heart seek after God? Oh, Lord, I need a new heart. We need a new heart that we may search for him with my whole heart. And so this verse talks about seeking God. I seek God with my whole heart. Have I sought thee? Now, how or where do we seek God? How or where do we seek God? Well, we don't go off in some strange place or don't go to some local church. We've always had to go to the Bible. We seek God. We find God in the Bible as we're reading and studying the Bible. Of course, another important part, we see that in the second part of the verse, he's praying, O Lord. He says in the second part, O let me not wander from thy commandments. That's a prayer. He has sought the Lord with all his heart, and he's praying, let me not wander from thy commandments. In other words, prayer is an integral process of finding God. And verse 10 helps to emphasize that. And so I can seek God by diligently searching him out in the Word of God. As I'm reading the Word of God, I'm searching for God. As I'm studying the Bible, as we learn more from the Bible, we are learning more about God and his program. We are seeking God. And, of course, prayer is important. Prayer is important. You notice how he ties together the Bible with God, because he said here in verse 10, with my whole heart I have sought thee, talking about God. Oh, let me not wander from thy commandments. In other words, thy commandments, that's the whole Bible. And I've sought thee. They're tied into the commandments of God. It warns us, let us not wander from the Word of God. And that's very important. It's very easy to wander from the Word of God. And the solution is we seek God in the Word of God. As we spend time in the Bible, in the Word of God, God strengthens us through that and through prayer not to wander, not to err away from his Word. You know, if I just spend a little time Sunday afternoon reading the Bible, and the rest of the week I'm not really having much contact with the Bible, then I'm not really seeking God with my whole heart. I have to, of course, God in God's mercy has given us Sunday. That's a day entirely for the Word of God. And so we should fill that with God's things as much as possible, not only for ourselves, but to be a blessing to others. But also, we need contact with the Word every day. And this verse is a warning for me. Do I really seek God with all my heart? Am I prayerfully seeking God? Like the second part of the verse says, oh, let me not wander. Am I praying to God to help keep me in the Word of God? You know, we need God to open understanding, that we may understand more of the Word of God. But we need God also, and even more so, to walk in those ways. He's saying, let me not wander. Let me not drift away. Let me not err. The word is translated error quite a bit. Let me not err from thy word. See, there's a prayer in there, the need for God to keep us on track. You know, it's interesting. You think about the second part of this psalm. Oh, let me not wander from thy commandments. And it's really emphasizing the dependence the true believer has on God. You know, I've talked to people and who identify with the Bible, and a lot of times we talk about obedience to God. And, of course, a number of them will say, well, we don't have to obey the Bible. We're not under the law. And those people completely don't understand the nature of salvation, that God has given the true believer a heart to obey the law of God. But we won't talk about them. We'll talk about those who say, yes, I'll do the Word of God. And in their own strength, they're going to do the Word of God. Yes, I'll do the Word of God. Let's turn to Joshua 24. Turn to Joshua 24:19. You know, it's very humbly we have to say, Oh Lord, help me to do thy will. Joshua 24:19. We're getting to the end of Joshua's life. And the people said, we will obey the Lord. And a lot of people say, yes, we will. I remember I was in a Bible study a long, long time ago, and the men said, yes, we just have to obey the Bible. And I think, yes, I do, oh Lord, help me. If you're not there doing it, I'm going to fall flat on my face. Yes, we do have to obey the Bible. Oh Lord, help me, strengthen me to obey thy word. Joshua 24:19. And this is a wonderful, Joshua 24 is a wonderful chapter, like all chapters. We're not going to go through the whole thing, but let's look at this one part here in verse 19. And Joshua said unto the people, ye cannot serve Jehovah, for he is an holy God. He is a jealous God. He will not forgive your transgressions nor your sins. If ye forsake Jehovah and serve strange gods, then he will turn and do you hurt and consume you. After that he hath done you good. And the people said unto Joshua, nay, but we will serve Jehovah. And Joshua said unto the people, your witness is against yourself that ye have chosen you, Jehovah, to serve him. And they said, we are witnesses. Now therefore, put away, said he, the strange gods which are among you, and incline your heart unto Jehovah God of Israel. And the people said unto Joshua, Jehovah our God, we will serve, and his voice we will obey. The people said, yes, in verse 21 and 24, the people said, yes, we will serve Jehovah. Just like people today say, yes, I'll serve the Lord. Yes, I accept the Lord Jesus and I will serve him. But what happened to these people in Joshua 24? Well, you know, and if you don't know, just start reading the opening chapters of Judges and you find out they continued in their old rebellious ways. Occasionally they'd serve the Lord a little bit, but they quickly wandered away from his word. And this is the plea of the psalmist back in Psalm 119. O Lord, let me not wander from thy ways. Yes, my heart is set on thee to serve thee and to live for thee, O Lord. But if you're not strengthening me, I'm going to wander from thy truth. And that is the plea that we saw in Psalm 119, the second part of that. Actually, the true believer, he learns more and more how dependent he is upon the Lord. And as we go through Psalm 119, or you go through it, you'll see that there's that plea for God's strengthening, that God would help him. We cannot do it well. We cannot do it right. I know it won't go well for me if the Lord is not working in my life. When I go off on my own, I've gotten into enough trouble that way. It reminds us of Philippians 2:12-13, where it says that God works, or God energizes the believer's life to will and to do of his good pleasure. In other words, if it's going well for us, the Lord's, He is the one that's working in us. He is the one willing and energizing us to do His good pleasure. Let's go back to Psalm 119, if you would. Psalm 119. Psalm 119. So we have a wonderful verse here in verse 10. Psalm 119, verse 10. With my whole heart have I sought thee. And we seek him in the Word of God, in the Bible. Oh, let me not wander from thy commandments. And so the true believer is seeking God, studying the Bible, depending upon the Bible to be God working through that Word that he may not wander from his commandments. And he also has the prayer and the petition to God to strengthen him. You know, that word wander is frequently translated error. And it was used, for example, when Saul, the second time Saul tried to kill David, that's the second time it's reported, at least in the Bible, recorded. In 2 Samuel 26:21, Saul says, I played the fool and have erred exceedingly. And that word erred is the same word wander here. And Saul certainly had erred from the truth of God. And you see how different the life of Saul. He wasn't close to the Word of God. He didn't have a desire to seek out the Word of God. And he wandered, he erred far from the truth. But the true believer has a completely different mindset. He is seeking God out in the Word of God and at the same time pleading with God to keep him on track. Let's go to the next verse, a very well-known verse. In verse 11, Thy word have I hid in mine heart that I might not sin against thee. This verse is quoted many times. And this, again, this verse, part of Psalm 19, gives 119 gives glory to the Bible because it talks about the Word of God again. I have hid thy word, the Bible. And so God is putting focus throughout this psalm on his word. He's magnifying his word. And actually, verse 11 ties into the previous verse. The previous verse talked about, I have sought thee in the Word of God, and help me, O Lord, not to err or wander from thy commandments. And then in verse 11, the true believer is putting feet under that prayer. He's putting feet under that prayer because he is hidden. He hides the Word of God. The true believer is going to use the great resource that God has given to mankind, namely the Word of God itself, to help the true believer to not wander from God's truth. He's going to hide the Word of God in his heart that he might not wander from his truth. And of course, we understand that hiding to be memorization. Now, it's interesting God uses the word heart here. I have hid thy word in mine heart. He didn't use mind or head, but heart really focuses on the whole essence of man, the whole essence of man. In Ezekiel 36, we talked about that. God gives us a new heart, a new nature, a new resurrected spirit. He makes us a new creature in Christ. And so the Word of God is to be placed in our whole essence, not just up here kind of intellectually where I've memorized some stuff, but the idea of hiding in my heart is it should be into the wolf, or like we have in the book of Leviticus about, and I forgot the words, but about leprosy, it gets into the wolf and the warp of the garment, the total seam of it, and that's the Word of God. Not, we don't want leprosy, sin in there, which is sin before we're saved gets in there. We want the Word of God filtered into our whole being. And that's the purpose of hiding it, is that we may not sin against thee. It talks about, I have hid thy word in my heart that I might not sin against thee. Notice it says against thee. Our sins are against God, against the law of God. Every time we sin, we've got to keep in mind that sin, you know, if we're unkind to our wife or something, we're to love our wives. But remember, that sin is against God. That sin against God. Now let's think about this idea of hiding the Word of God in our heart that we might not sin against Him. Let's say, you know, we each have a sin problem to work on. There's not one of us that doesn't have sin problems to work on. And we're here to work on, we solve one sin problem, we get a handle on that, then we work on the next sin problem and the next sin problem. And so we have a sin problem. Let's take the most pronounced. We have a sin problem. And we obviously are going to be praying to God to strengthen us not to commit that sin. But memorization of Scripture that's pointed to in verse 11 here is a big assist in not sinning. See, and we could pick a sin that we have. We're working on a particular sin. And remember, the Bible is our resource book from God. It is our counselors. He says, look at verse 24 for a second. Go down to Psalm 119, verse 24, just the next section down at the bottom there. Thy testimonies are my delight and my counselors. Thy testimonies are my delight. That also is a big statement. Is the Word of God really our delight? Is the Word of God our delight, or is a dessert our delight? Or is our vacation our delight? I made reference to a vacation last night. Somebody came up to me and said, was I saying you can't take a vacation? I'm not saying, I don't believe we're taught that we can't take vacations, but what is the true delight in our heart? Am I thinking all year about this vacation that's coming up? Is that the real joy in my heart? Or is my joy in serving Christ? But I don't think the Word of God commands that we can't take a vacation. But anyways, but look at verse 24. Thy testimonies also are my delight. That's a big statement, but I wanted to, is it really my delight? Is the Word of God really my delight or my obligation? But anyways, that's a good point. But my counselors, you notice that thy testimonies, there are counselors, plural. Not the church, not the elders, not all the smart theologians are our counselors. The Bible is our counselors, because in any given issue, in any sin problem we have, God has lots of counselors. This verse will help you on this. For example, on marriage, God has 1 Corinthians 7. It talks about the wife bound her husband as long as she lives. Matthew 19, what God has joined together, let not man put asunder. Genesis, is that they two become one flesh. Multiple counselors on the same issue. And so God has multiple verses to help us in our sin problem. So I pick out my sin problem, and there'll be multiple verses in the Bible to help me with that sin problem. And if we can't find them, let's say we're not that familiar with the Bible, we'll take out your concordance and start looking up words that relate to your sin problem. And find verses. I find verses. You find your verses. I'll find my verses. We each have our own sin problems. It'll strengthen us to put down those sin problems. Now, if you don't have a concordance, well, it's time to go out and buy one. They're not that expensive. We've been blessed with enough here. You can get a Strong's or a Young's Concordance, or you can use a computer program. But there's really no reason why we can't start using a concordance. And we can find verses that help us. Find the verse that works for me, probably not the verse that will work for you. And we find these verses, and we memorize them, we hide them in our heart, and we recite them when the sinful thoughts come into mind. And this has at least two big advantages. First, if we've memorized verses, we've hid them in our heart, they become part of our being, that we can just recite them without even thinking about it, and we're also thinking about them, there's at least two big advantages. Number one, it gets our mind off our sin. You know, normally when we sin, whatever sin you've got, whatever sin I've got that we're working on now, it usually begins in our thinking. We normally start thinking about it. Well, we must stop that thinking. We've got to redirect that thinking to the Word of God, okay? And second, our mind is going in the wrong direction, okay? And the Word of God will move our mind back in the right direction. You know, one time somebody asked me, they said they were struggling with covetousness and the love of money. And so I suggested, why don't you memorize some verses around 1 Timothy 6:6? Let's turn there for a second. I just want to use this as an illustration. And if somebody's struggling with covetousness, maybe this passage wouldn't be the big help for them. God has lots of counselors with this problem. And God has lots of counselors with any problem that we have in the Bible. So we just have to find those verses. Turn to 1 Timothy 6:6. I'm just doing this as an illustration of the idea of the benefit of hiding the Word of God in your heart. 1 Timothy 6:6. And you can find the verses that help you. Okay? And the idea is we want to find those passages, and I'm just using this as an illustration, and put those into our being. And then when the sin temptation comes up, the verses are right there to help us. 1 Timothy 6:6. But godliness with contentment is great gain. But godliness with contentment is great gain. And God has more things to say in this passage, which we may look at. But one thing I wanted to comment about, it's fine to memorize 20 verses. That's fine. You know, somebody once told me they're trying to memorize the whole book of Hebrews or the whole book of John. And that's fine. But we want to make sure that whatever we memorize, it penetrates our being. It penetrates our being. We don't want to just learn them intellectually So we can quickly recite them, and we've never really thought about them. God talks about meditating upon His Word, thinking about what is God really saying here. I don't want to just kind of have it in my mind and I'm just kind of reading it off like a recorder. We want it to penetrate into our thinking. That's why God talks about meditating on the verse. You know, one thing one could do is they could read this passage or whatever passage they find 20 times and think about the words as you're reading it. But godliness with contentment is great gain. And read it slowly and carefully. We often find that God has a lot of things to say that we missed the first few times we read it. So let's say my problem is I love this world too much. It's a big temptation. You know, I go out to work and I start seeing all the things in this world, and I have friends that have all the latest gadgets, and ooh, this is really interesting. I wanting these things more and more, and I begin thinking more about this and about this earthly thing and a nice house, or I need the new whatever it is, DVD system, and I got a laptop, and I'm sinning at least two ways. First sin is I'm looking out at the world, and I'm not looking in the Bible. I'm looking in the wrong direction. Secondly, I'm adding to that by thinking. I'm thinking about how wonderful all these things would be, whatever it is. And I should be thinking about the Bible and about the Lord Jesus. So I start meditating on 1 Timothy 6:6. But godliness with contentment is great gain. Now, I've really memorized that, and I got that one down. And so then I get this morning, Monday morning comes up, or Tuesday morning, or whatever, Friday afternoon. I'm thinking about the gain of the world's goods. It'd be nice to have a nice car. See this person over here? Tom, he's got this nice car here, and it runs really well, and it's got a built-in DVD player, and I'm thinking about all this good stuff. But I memorized this verse. Oh, a godliness with contentment is great gain. And so I've been looking at this world, and I've been thinking about the gain of this world, and that can happen to me at any time. Yet I remember the verse, God has a different answer. I've been thinking about this new laptop that I want to have. I don't really need it. My online Bible already runs fast enough. I don't need 2 gigahertz to run the online Bible for techies there. And so I remember, godliness with contentment is great gain. See, God has a different answer for great gain. And remember, whatever your sin problem is different, but there's a verse in there to help you. And so I've been thinking about the gain of this world, but God says, no, God has a different answer. God has an answer for great gain, not just a gain of this world. God's answer is godliness. God says, no, I have a different answer for great gain. My answer, God says, is godliness. In other words, the great gain is to do it God's way, to obey the Bible, to be walking day by day with the Lord Jesus. That is great gain. See, I had the wrong idea. I was thinking that a new car or a new laptop or something else that I don't really need is the great gain. God corrects my thinking. No, godliness, to obey Jesus, to walk with Him, to listen to Him. That is the great gain. That's the great gain. I know my problem. I've been loving the world too much. But now I've hidden these verses in my Bible, and I can immediately recite them. Godliness with contentment, that is great gain. And they're right there. They're in my being. So whenever the temptation comes up, and maybe it comes up 17 times in the day, you know, at different times, whatever the sin temptation is, no, I've been working on my verse. What is that verse again? Godliness with contentment is great gain. And so when the thought or the sight of this world comes up, or whatever sin it is, I have the answer. I have the answer. Jesus said, godliness. Do it according to the Bible. Walk with Jesus. I'm praying to Him. I'm remembering what He talked about. And so we can see many, many blessings, the blessings that come from hiding this Word, memorizing this Word, making it a part of our being, that it may be in there and be ready for us. It may be there when we need it. See, if we've memorized it, then it's already ready for us. So that whenever that sin temptation comes up, we have the verse that's there to help us. And a different verse would work for you. You know, we each have different sin problems that we're struggling with. We have to find those verses and lock them in. And if it were covetousness, we read more of this. See, God has more help in this passage. Verse 7, for we brought nothing into this world, and it is certain we can carry nothing out. Is that a simple and true statement? That helps remind me. Okay, I've been thinking about these nice things of the world. You didn't come in with them. You're not going to leave with them. You're not going to leave with them. But God says, and having food and raiment, clothing, let us there be with content. Oh, I thought I needed a big house. But God doesn't list house here. He says, with food and raiment, food and clothing, let us be content. In other words, oh, my thinking was getting off. I was looking at the Joneses. I was looking at these other people. I was listening to too many radio advertisements. That was filling my being. That was filling my nature. Oh, I got to get my nature back on the Word of God. And by having those passages, the passages that speak to me and my sin problem, having them ingrained in my being, I've been working on these. You know, every night I come home and I practice these again. And so when the sin comes up, the verses are right there. They're right there. I don't need my Bible. It's already in here. And so the verses I need to help me with the present sin problem are right there. They're right there. And so I just remember right off the top of my head. And then when that sin problem gets tackled, oh, there's another sin problem. There's another sin problem. And then we could work on that sin problem. What are the verses to help me deal with that sin problem? Where can I look? And I got my concordance here, and I pick some words, and I study, and I think about it for a while. Oh, I remember a verse I read a while ago. Well, that had this word in it. I looked this up. Oh, yeah, it's this verse. It's over here in Hebrews chapter 2, or it's back there in Jonah chapter 3. And I write that passage down. I work on that passage so it becomes part of my being. If the temptations of this world come back, it's okay. I've still got enough of this verse, but godliness with contentment is great gain. I've got that in there, so I'm covered. And so by this way, God has given us a wonderful resource book, His Word, that speaks to any issue that we've got, any problem we've got. He's got the answer. And by prayer, then we can say, oh, Lord, apply this word to my heart. And this has worked for me. I know many of you have used this, and we just have to avail ourselves of the Word of God that we might be strengthened through God working through His Word to strengthen His Word in our lives. Let's close with prayer. Our Father in heaven, we thank Thee for Thy abundant goodness towards us. We thank Thee that Thou hast in Thy mercy lavished us in so many ways, and Thou hast given us Thy Word. And help us to focus ourselves back on Thy Word, to strengthen us that we may live more faithfully before Thee. And if we're not, for those of us that are not yet saved, have mercy, Father, and would You have mercy to give us that new heart of salvation. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
Godliness with contentment is great gain. I'm trying to match up the young lady whose family is from Nigeria with Trevor, who's willing to take her to East Orange. Is she here? Anybody help me match them up? We've got the last ride going north. Anybody going to East Orange? She was over here. There she is, Trevor. Don't let that woman go on Amtrak, because you're going right there. He's going to drive you to
Eastern. I've been struggling for an answer, and I said one day somebody will preach how to really work on your sin problem.
What is this, the music theme of the service?
Oh, thank you, Albert's question. Yeah.
Praise you. Thank you for
giving me
the
Lord. I've been
waiting on that.
The Red Hymnal, 108.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Thank
the Lord. I'm going to sing this very softly.
Thank you.
The Red Hymnal. 108.